The Strand Bookstore in New York is legendary. It claims to hold 18 miles of books. And that's where Anesi Liddell found herself a few weeks ago, just browsing.
I just wanted a book to read on the subway. I really don't read that much, I guess, but I mean, it's the summer and, you know, 30 Rock's not on anymore, so I need something to do.
She picked up a copy of Don DeLillo's classic, White Noise, but when she opened it up, she saw something scrawled on the inside cover. A name. The name of the previous owner. And the name was David Markson.
The girls at the counter said, oh, this is one of Markson's. We have his whole collection. I have no idea who they're talking about. But then when I was reading it, I noticed, like, first you put a lot of check marks by some passages, and then you put no, and then the comments just got meaner and meaner. So then I looked them up and realized that he had just died.
It turned out David Markson hadn't just been a casual reader. He was a writer himself and well-known in literary circles. David Foster Wallace even called Markson's novel Wittgenstein's Mistress pretty much the high point of experimental fiction. And now, Anesi had a book from Markson's personal library in her possession.
Thought it was worth putting on my Facebook, so I did that.
After word spread of Anesi's find, other people started trolling the shelves of the Strand, also hoping to find annotated books from Markson's personal collection, which raised the question, how did his library wind up there?
Because he wanted it to.
That's Craig Furman. He wrote about Markson's lost library for the Boston Globe this week.
Markson actually had a long and personal relationship with the Strand. Employees knew him by name. He would go several times a week and they would have conversations.
Markson died this past June, and his family handed over 63 boxes of his personal library to the Strand.
And the Strand ended up sending a truck to pick up the books. From there, they sorted it out. These go to the philosophy section. These go to art history. Novels, literary criticism and philosophy, a lot of books of classical literature, T.S. Eliot's letters and essays, books on Wittgenstein's philosophy. Then the books were sorted and just sent out on the Strand's normal shelves.
Now, not all of Markson's books had his writing in them, but Anesi Liddell's copy of White Noise was furiously annotated.
He would put check marks by certain passages, underline passages that seemed to speak to him, but he would also kind of disagree and quibble with people. So somebody like DeLillo, in the margins, he would write, ugh, or no, or get to the point.
He would be having a conversation with Don DeLillo in the margins of DeLillo's book.
Right. And it wasn't the most pleasant conversation. I think my favorite comment was, this book might have set the all-time record for boredom.
Craig Furman is a graduate student in English at Yale. He says you can learn a lot about authors, what may have influenced their work, by studying their personal libraries. But unfortunately, very few of those collections have ever been preserved.
Twain is an especially cringeworthy case study, I think, because even though Twain was always Mark Twain the way we think of him today, his books were not well cared for, and they ended up scattered everywhere. He actually started donating some of his own books off, and you would think once they were in the library, they might be more safe, but unfortunately, that wasn't the case. The library circulated them with all their other books, so you would have souvenir hunters kind of swoop in, cut out pages where Twain's handwriting, his notes, or him signing the flyleaf of the book. Twain just didn't really see these books as that important. He had the books that he had written, and that's what mattered to him.
Herman Melville's collection was also famously scattered. After his death, his family saved just a few books, and even then, only the smallest ones. They were short on space.
His will noted that he owned at least 1,000 books, but scholars have been able to deduce only about 400 titles. The ones that survive are certainly interesting. He owned a copy of John Milton's poems, actually. From that, you can tell things like he read Paradise Lost while he was writing Moby Dick. Certainly an important and fascinating connection to think about those two works side by side.
That copy of John Milton's poems, by the way, was auctioned back in the 1980s for $100,000. So why wasn't the entire collection preserved, or for that matter, those of other famous writers?
As a culture, we just kind of fixate on this idea of a writer who's alone and doing his work. So things like manuscripts and diaries and journals and those get saved, those get preserved and cared for. But when it comes to a writer's books, they don't receive the same kind of care and attention just because they're less immediately connectable to the author's personality.
And what about Anesi Liddell, the one who got hold of David Markson's personal copy of the Don DeLillo novel White Noise? Well, it turns out she never finished the book at all. Instead, she decided to read David Markson's novels, but she's keeping her tattered copy of White Noise nonetheless.
There's one guy that asked me if he could buy my book, but I politely declined. I mean, things like this don't happen to me. Like, I found this thing. I want to hold on to it. It's my talisman. I feel like it's going to help me someday.